Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans TA Center teleconference, Best Practices, Housing Options for Homeless and At-Risk Veterans. My name is Bailey Crone, and I'm the Director of Technical Assistance with NCHV, and I'll be hosting today's call. I'm going to go through a few of the logistics to make sure everyone has access to the presentation materials to follow along, and everyone knows who to contact if they need additional information. You should have received an email earlier today. That was a reminder email with the login information as well as a link to the presentation slides. If you don't have the presentation slides in front of you, you can go to nchv.org. So it's www.nchv.org. Once you get there, you'll see a section along the top that says Service Providers. If you hover over that, you can click on Teleconferences. That brings you to the teleconference page for today's call. And if you click on the presentation slides, it will go ahead and pull the PDF file for you of the slides for today. Give everyone a chance to open those. Today's call is a first-tier call. That means it's more of an introductory level call to the housing resources that are available. This is something new that the TA Center has started so that program participants and program staff can know who on their staff should probably participate in the call to learn more information about what's being presented. We're going to give kind of a 30,000 view of what some of the housing resources are. But if there are pieces that we discuss that you want additional information on, feel free to ask us during the Q&A section, or you see my contact information on the first slide and feel free to get in contact with me. You should also be receiving a post-call survey probably early tomorrow morning. We'd really appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to fill that out. So I hope everyone now has access to the presentation slides. If you go to slide two, that's our agenda, you'll see generally what we're going to go over today. It's a pretty packed agenda, but we're going to try and get through. And we have two wonderful HVRP grantees who are going to share their experiences on the second part of the call. And after I'm done and they share their experiences, Andrew Geary with NCHV is going to talk a little bit about the NCHV housing portal and the corporate connection that we put together. So if you go to slide three, these are some of the numbers that you'll see from the latest point in time count, which actually came out last week. Now, although the overall numbers of homeless individuals has not markedly shifted, the numbers of veterans who are experiencing homelessness has continued to decline since the beginning of the five-year plan. The AHAR was released last week. That's the annual homeless assessment report. And the numbers showcase the steady decline in the annual count. You'll see that the number is a little over 62,000. Before we discuss the specific housing programs that exist for homeless veterans and HVRP programs, it's useful to unpack some of the numbers in the AHAR to give us a more comprehensive and detailed outline of the challenges we're facing. The latest point in time count, 62,619, showcases a 7.2% overall decline. This has two components, a sheltered and an unsheltered count. A 12.2% decline in sheltered veterans is paired with nearly no change in the numbers of unsheltered veterans. While this lack of change within the unsheltered count may seem problematic, especially when HUD VASH vouchers are being targeted to those veterans who are the hardest to reach and who could be assumed to be in that unsheltered group, we need to take a few factors into account. First, continuums of care were not required to conduct an unsheltered count in 2012, and over 30% of them did not conduct that separate count, but instead used their 2011 numbers. This means that there could be changes to the unsheltered number that haven't shown up in the data yet. Second, because the sheltered count includes those individuals in grant and per diem programs, a steady decline in this component of the numbers points to a system of more seamless transition from grant and per diem to HUD VASH for those who fit the program and to other permanent housing resources for those who don't. With an emphasis on housing first within VA and mainstream programs, and the expedited lease-up of HUD VASH that's happening across the country, this could actually be a sign of successful service delivery integration. So what does this mean for HVRP grantees? This means a few things. One, the veterans and grant per diem are eligible for HVRP enrollment, but right now they're not eligible for HVRP enrollment if they're already placed in permanent housing. whether this is HUD-VASH, regular Section 8, or another private and public program. If the process of moving veterans from grant and per diem to permanent housing is moving more quickly, having a strong relationship with those programs, whether it's on-site at your institution or with partners in the community, can help you enroll the veterans in your area who are in need of HVRP services, who might be ineligible for those services if the enrollment process isn't coordinated. Second, it means that you will continue the difficult task of seeking out chronically homeless veterans who are often unsheltered throughout the year and connecting these individuals to housing options that meet their needs so that you can make the choice to enroll them if they're employment ready and still eligible. Third, the growth of subpopulations needing services, including veterans and families, female veterans, OIF, OEF veterans, and veterans with new classifications of compounding disabilities, means that housing referrals to services have to be targeted if they're going to be effective in keeping these veterans in contact with your programs over time. We hope to touch on several of these issues in today's call. And like I mentioned, we're going to give a more tops-of-the-trees view of a lot of these programs with some insight into how they actually work in a few specific programs. This call is just a baseline call, but we will be having future ones after the beginning of the year that will dig into some of these programs in a little bit more detail. If you go on to slide 4, I'm going to share some information about some more unpacking of those numbers based on, you know, what it means to be a homeless veteran in a family, veterans in poverty, and a few of those pieces. So although being part of a family is a protective factor for veterans, including veterans in poverty, for those 2% of veterans who are homeless as part of a family, the demographics are different and they're pretty shocking. Almost half are women, almost half are younger than 30, and the large majority do not have a disability. It's also important to remember that many homeless veterans might be accessing services as individuals instead of as a family unit because of the availability of resources. So that 2% number might be different in function rather than how it looks in these numbers. With about 70% of homeless women unemployed in fiscal year 2010, there's definitely a need for employment services that focus on the needs of homeless veterans and families and homeless female veterans. But it's important to remember that overall, these numbers are still a small component of the overall homeless veteran count. When we're also talking about veterans who are at risk, the 1.4 number is key to remember. There are about 1.4 million veterans who are already in poverty, an additional 1.4 that are right above that poverty line. If we're talking about one in nine veterans in poverty who experiences homelessness, you're talking about some fairly staggering numbers of veterans who are likely to experience homelessness in the next year. Female veterans are also twice as likely to become homeless as female non-veterans, and we've seen that steady incline in the number of female veterans who are experiencing homelessness over the past few years. If you move on to slide 5, starting in 2011, HUD began requiring communities to conduct camps of homeless veterans in unsheltered locations. This information is currently being reported by all COCs and allows HUD to produce point-in-time estimates of unsheltered homeless veterans without the same use of those statistical adjustments that we had talked about a few years ago with the homeless assessment report, the annual homeless assessment report and the veteran supplement to that report. Previously, communities weren't required to do a count of homeless veterans within the overall homeless population, and this led to some difficulties with understanding exactly what the data says. When you're looking at these numbers, though, you have to remember that there are actual decreases and then there are also invisible decreases. You have actual decreases, which is the number getting smaller and smaller every year that the data comes out, but there are also the invisible decreases. So those veterans who experience episodic homelessness who likely would drive up the overall number of veterans experiencing homelessness over a year, but they're not going to show up in that count. So if you see a decline of maybe 3,000, that could actually be a much higher number because it's not showing all those who experience homelessness for the first time. Now, where does that leave us now when we're looking at what the challenges are? We're at a pretty special place right now because of the integration of these different data systems. With the challenge report having been the baseline of understanding homelessness among veterans for such a long period of time, now with the integration with HUD's AHAR report, we have the opportunity to look at planning of resources, not with veterans as a separate element, but as an integrated community within the overall homeless population needing services. This provides us with a really special opportunity to make sure that veterans have that equitable access to services within their own communities. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. If you look at slide 6, you'll see, I like to include this. I think it's a really important piece to note when we're talking about the intersection between HVRP programs and other services, because if you look at the unmet needs that are mentioned by consumers and by community providers, often you don't see employment services listed among these pieces, but if you look at each one of them, each one of these pieces has to be addressed before you can adequately place someone in a housing unit and get them placed in employment that's going to be sustainable. So looking at slide 7, these are definitions that I got from the AHAR, and it just shows the length of intervention of the different housing options, going from emergency shelter, which is short-term, lasting less than 1 week, through transitional housing, which is on average from 1 to 3 months, but with grant and per diem can be up to 2 years, through to permanent supportive housing, which is, you know, up to a year or more. Now, I know that with this call, I said that we weren't only going to talk about HUD-VASH and grant and per diem, but I will talk about each one of those programs very briefly. If you look at slide 8, you'll see that we're nearing the max build-out of HUD-VASH. The goal has always been to provide HUD-VASH vouchers for those 60,000 chronically homeless veterans who were in need of those vouchers. By 2014, we were going to come very close to hitting that 60,000 number. This is important to keep in mind because often when we're talking about permanent housing options for homeless and at-risk veterans, HUD-VASH is the first thing that's put on the table. But it's not the only solution because it's not the right fit for the majority of homeless veterans. If you look at slide 9, a little bit about grant and per diem. Grant per diem has been the linchpin within the homeless veteran community when it comes to providing the transition point for homeless veterans transitioning into permanent housing. Served over 100,000 veterans since it began in 1994, and with over 700 programs around the country, it's the best access point for many homeless veterans. Now, there have been some changes within the grant per diem program over the past few years, and these are important to keep in mind because they are probably going to impact or have already impacted the service delivery in your area, whether you have a grant and per diem, whether you have grant and per diem on your facility or whether you partner with an entity that has grant and per diem beds. As of September 2011, there are changes in the way the definition of chronically homeless interacts with the grant and per diem program. Priority for vouchers to be given to veterans who are chronically homeless, according to HARS, that priority is supposed to be given to veterans who have who are designated as chronically homeless. But if you stay in a program such as grant and per diem for more than 90 days, you're not actually considered chronically homeless anymore. So that could have an impact on your ability to apply for and receive a HUD-VASH voucher. Now, the actual process of that can be different depending on the relationship that you have with your medical center. But it is important to note for individuals that are in grant and per diem who are likely a good candidate for HUD-VASH that if they are staying in the program for longer than 90 days, it could affect their eligibility for the program. Going on to slide 10, transition in place is another newer piece that's been built into the grant and per diem program. And this shows a few different movements within the housing community. Because of variability in the rental market, the need to provide alternatives after transitional housing, the need for more permanent housing opportunities for homeless veterans coming out of grant and per diem, because of all of these factors, there's been a push within the grant and per diem program to set up a system that mirrors what already has been effective in the community. And this is having transitional housing as that stepping stone and not as an end goal. I know probably a lot of programs that are on the line right now have veterans who have cycled through their grant and per diem maybe up to 3 times and then feel like they might be out of options. The transition in place program, while it's not the perfect fit for every model, can offer the opportunity to have veterans actually transition where they are. This is something that can provide that longer-term stability for a veteran who, might need the supportive community of the Grant per diem facility, but can also live independently without the need of a HUD-VASH voucher. So I talked a little bit about Grant per diem and HUD-VASH, and as I mentioned in the announcement for the call, these are very important programs and they serve defined purposes, but now that we have the opportunity to look at the data and look at the resources that are available on a wider level, not just from VA but also from HUD, we see that there are a lot more resources that could potentially be available to veterans if HVRP grantees and their programs are aware of the resources that exist in the mainstream community. So if you go to slide 11, I just want to talk very briefly about the continuums of care and the overall housing resources. As of the 2012 point in time count, there were over 700,000 beds available through emergency shelters, transitional housing, and permanent supportive housing programs. 39% of these beds were in permanent supportive housing programs, which was the category that saw the most growth in the period between 2007 to 2012. Emergency beds also grew, but transitional beds decreased across the country by 6%. With 40% of permanent supportive housing resources used by families, this growth provides resources beyond HUD-VASH for those veterans and families in need of housing supports, but maybe not the intensive case management of HUD-VASH. In 2012, HUD published the Continuum of Care Program Interim Rule in the Federal Register. It establishes the regulations, the regulatory implementation, and the COC planning process. The existing homeless assistance programs were combined into one larger Continuum of Care program that involves the Supportive Housing Program, Shelter Plus Care Program, and the Moderate Rehabilitation SRO Program. HUD-VASH and regular Section 8 are elsewhere, but the COCs are now required to include homeless veteran organizations in the planning process as well as on their boards. The COC boards must actually have one formerly homeless person, not necessarily a veteran, but it could be, on their board and representatives from all relevant organizations, including homeless veteran organizations. If you're not involved in your continuum of care and on the board and on the planning process and in those meetings, this is a very good access point for your organization, even if you don't directly provide housing resources, to know about additional resources in the community that might be available to you. They are having, I believe HUD is having a webinar today, and we have a link for it up on our website at 3:30, so right after this call, on the changes to continuums of care. So if you do have other sources of HUD funding that have now been combined into this larger continuum of care program, I would definitely urge you to be a part of that call because they're going to walk through a lot of those pieces on how it's going to impact your program. This is a very important piece to be aware of. Another thing that might be a useful resource, and if you haven't seen it already, feel free to email me and I'll make sure you get it, and I can also post it up with the resources for this call. There's an introductory guide to the interim rule, and it has a lot of good resources for different access points for your organization to be more involved in the continuum of care process. Another good piece about being involved with these meetings is there might be employment opportunities that come around within the continuum of care that could provide employment for the participants in your HVRP program. This is another good point to know about those other job resources that that might exist in the mainstream community that your homeless veterans might not otherwise have access to. I'm going to skip over talking about the pieces that exist beyond philanthropy because I'm going to leave that to Andrew at the end of today's call. But I do want to mention, I have a link in here on slide 12 for the Supportive Services for Veteran Families program. For a lot of veterans who are in your program and aren't going to be eligible for HUD-VASH and maybe they're about ready to leave transitional housing, they don't need to be in grant per diem anymore, and they could probably sustain independent living out on their own, but they might not have the financial resources to pay for their security deposits or first and last month's rent, or maybe they are having a little bit of legal troubles and need to go through their child support and go through and change their, have an adaptation to their child support. SSVS offers that opportunity to help those veterans who need that gap funding make that move into permanent housing. You know, it's not meant to just transition everyone straight from Grant for Diem to HUD-VASH. It's a larger, has a larger purpose than that. So if you haven't seen the new list of grantees, I would take a look to see if any of the new or renewing grantees are in your area, and also be cognizant of the build-out of the program. With it moving to $300 million, if there's not an SSVF grantee in your area already, there's likely to be one in the coming years. So I'm going to go ahead and actually just skip through these and talk very briefly about the best practices publication and really what brought us here today. The best practices publication started back in 2003. NCHB put this together to help those HVRP programs and organizations that were maybe thinking of applying for that funding or partnering with an HVRP better understand how the program functions and how it functions successfully. The latest version of this publication was released this year as profiles of 20 HVRP grantees, and the services are broken down into different categories. You'll see them listed on slide 16. Today we're here to talk about the housing services piece of that, and to do that we have two phenomenal organizations that are going to share a little bit about the work that they do to provide housing for the homeless veterans that are in their HVRP program. The first individual who's going to talk is Joe Sliska from Albany Housing Coalition. Albany Housing Coalition has been providing a wide array of services to homeless veterans for a really long period of time, very experienced, and they have a very dynamic portfolio of resources within their organization. Very honored to have them on the call today. And Joe, I'll go ahead and turn the line over to you.
Bailey, thank you, and welcome, folks. I'm going to run you briefly through, past our introductory slide, of what happens to a homeless veteran in our community. They come to us from a variety of sources, from emergency shelter. We get a call from a friend or a relative, the VA homeless program, VA domiciliary, probably about 100 miles from us. Other members of the community organizations, veterans organizations, who we have connected with over the years. And the last thing you see up there on the right is VetTrack, and that's our name for our local veterans treatment court. And we provide mentors to seven courts in seven surrounding counties for veterans who are interacting with the court system for both misdemeanors and felonies. All of those end up to be a funnel for veterans, homeless veterans coming to us. So once they get to us, if you look across, you'll see the variety of services that we're able to link the veteran to and to interconnect the veteran with. And let's look down at the housing, because that's what we're going to that's what the purpose of this call is primarily. And I'm going to show, there you see examples of the housing that our organization offers a veteran as they come in. We have 8 units of VA emergency housing, and that's done through a very specific contract with our local VA homeless program and hospital. For the last 8 years, we have had 28 beds of per diem housing at our veterans' house. And just as an aside, our organization is providing housing services to homeless vets for 22 years. And prior to us receiving the per diem grant, we were housing veterans using our local DSS as a source for helping to pay the rents and operationalize and keep the house open. We also own and manage 20 units of permanent supportive housing. 6 of those are HUD SRO mod rehabs that were done many, many years ago through our continuum of care. And when we get into the next slide, I'll talk more about our local continuum of care, because that's an incredibly important part of what we do here, and I think can be and should be in your local community as well. We also manage 40 units of Shelter Plus Care Section 8 vouchers. HUD-VASH is basically modeled on the old HUD Shelter Plus Care program, and for 11 years we have had Shelter Plus Care program targeted to veterans in our community. We also own and operate several two- and three-family homes that we use for family housing and for senior housing for veterans. And, of course, the other resource in our community for housing is HUD-VASH. Let's move over to employment. Again, we've been around for a long time, and informally we've been connecting veterans with local employers and with employment for a lot of years. Six and a half years ago, we received our first HVRP grant, and we have successfully been putting veterans to work with them maintaining their jobs for the 9 months and better over that term. One of the things I want to point out in terms of employment is to ensure that if you haven't, as a grantee, that you connect to your local state labor department. As a result of the HVRP grant, you should have access to a LEVER, which is a local veterans employment rep, or a DVOP, a disabled veterans outreach program person. Here in our community, it took us actually for the 3 years to engage with New York State Labor after hearing all of their complaints and issues that they didn't have the money to hire anyone. We finally arranged for a DVOP to be in our office 1 day a week to work directly with our two employment specialists. Moving over to the legal side very briefly and quickly, for civil matters, we have pro bono attorneys who are at our service. Not listed there is our VETRAC program, our veterans treatment program. Moving across to benefits, here in New York, and I think in every state, there are benefits officers. In our case in New York, they're in every county. We have one benefits officer who is at our vet house, our per diem housing house, once a week to work with folks. And the most important ingredient over the last couple of years, especially as it relates to returning veterans, has been peer support. And we've developed and continue to develop a cadre and a group of veteran volunteers who work not only in the court systems as part of our VETRAC program, but in other areas as well, engaging the veterans who we are seeing. Let's move quickly to the next slide, housing resources. We were part of the originating organizations in our local continuum of care, and gosh, I don't know, that's 15, 17, maybe 20 years ago. It's a lot of years ago that our local continuum of care was started in our community. And we were lucky because the city of Albany decided they really wanted nothing to do with it. And so our local continuum is staffed by, was organized and is staffed by and is run by all the local homeless providers in the area. What can they offer? Participants in continuum of care local programs have over the years applied to HUD and receive funds to subsidize rents, to pay for security and back rental assistance, and for essentially to provide housing in one way or another to generally homeless persons and families. Again, in our community, we were part of the initial organization of our continuum of care, and so veterans have always been an important ingredient of the HUD funding that comes into our community through the continuum of care. Currently, we have 5 different grants through our continuum of care, providing various operational support services for our housing. I listed there their web link. I think it's just critically important that if the term continuum of care is new to you, that you look to your community, that you talk to other homeless providers in your community, and you establish that linkage. It really is critical for, over the years for us, it's been critical in being able to provide the housing supports that we've been able to provide and to provide other avenues for veterans within the community. The other local resource in our case is our Community Development Block Grant Program. We are an entitlement community because of the population of the city of Albany. Smaller communities are able to apply for CDBG funds directly, I think, through their states. The important thing there, and becoming more and more important because of the HEARTH, the changes in the HEARTH, because of the HEARTH Act and the changes in the Continuum of Care program, are the emergency shelter grants. Every community who has CDBG funds must allocate a portion of their grant to emergency shelter grants. Other local resources are Housing Authority. The interaction there is both with HUD-VASH, it's with our Shelter Plus Care program, and they've got apartments. They've got subsidized units, and if you can convince the director of your housing authority to put veterans as a preference, that will help you in finding some access and resource for your veterans. Again, our local Shelter Plus Care program, we've already talked about that. There is a provider of VA SSVF in our community, and for veterans who are leaving our transitional housing, this is an important resource to provide them with security deposit, furniture as they move in, and sometimes first month's rent. It's an extremely important resource. And the other thing to look at are HUD and state development funds for homeless housing. Here in New York State, we're really fortunate. Our Homeless Housing and Assistance Program built our vet house many years ago, built our Connors House, which is one of our, which is a 12-unit community site residence for senior disabled veterans. So those housing resources are critically important if you're looking to develop housing. I've got 2 minutes or 3 minutes left. I have with me our senior employment specialist, and I'm going to ask Mike Fitzpatrick to give you an example of one of the veterans who we've been working with and how housing has been so critical to supporting that employment.
Hi, everyone. Hopefully this will only take a minute to 2 minutes, but really a lot of the alphabet soup has been talked about here, all the different programs that are out there. And, you know, within HVRP, we try to keep informed on what's available so that we can link the veterans with, you know, resources so that then they can best decide, you know, which programs, along with whoever they're working with, you know, which they may qualify for, first of all, and which may be best for them. But in a particular example, we worked with a veteran who was able to come through some of the traditional steps, emergency housing to transitional. It just so happened that this particular gentleman, the job he acquired put him outside of the income, you know, above the income level, which is a good thing. So what we did recently was we developed a relationship to take it a step further with a local real estate agent who does kind of a volunteer work. Really, all she does is leverages her connections, her network, to provide apartment finding assistance to help the veteran land that apartment that they're looking for. As we all know, a lot of times apartments are available on sources like Craigslist, online sources, and within that there are built in various scams, you know, things of that nature that can crop up. This woman kind of helps the veterans, you know, to not have to be a part of that type of a system and just connect them directly with somebody who's renting an apartment. And these, again, are people who are outside of programs. So this gentleman was able to work through the programs that were available to him, became self-supportive, and through our link with this real estate agent, land that apartment that he was looking for.
And just in closing, one of the challenges that we now face are actually as a result of success, where in finding veterans employment where they are no longer eligible for Section 8 housing, which means they're in the open private market because they make too much money, thankfully, but they make too much money to apply for Section 8 assistance. So that's been a challenge for us, and using local landlords and that community linkages has really been helpful to us. And with that, I'll stop. Thanks.
Thank you both for sharing that information. I think that that's it's really useful to get that perspective from your program because you do manage so many resources. I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over just for the sake of time to Judy Hickey. She's with the Veteran Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania. She manages all of their 9 housing programs. That includes HUD permanent and transitional programs, ESG, SSVF, and a ton of other programs. But I'll let Judy talk about some of the work that she does. Judy?
Thank you. Yes, as Joe so eloquently put, he explained some of the programs that I was going to talk about, so I can just go right into what we do. We do have HUD transitional and permanent housing programs. We have a pen-free program for drug and alcohol. We have an SSBF grant, which is 14 counties in southwestern Pennsylvania. We have ESG, United Way monies, Bank of New York Mellon, private grants. We have, which Joe had said, had hit upon, and I absolutely agree, building the relationship with the continuum. We have a great relationship with our continuum here and with Allegheny County Department of Human Services, their Bureau of Housing. That partnership has been very, very successful. Our folks come to us from some of the same places that Joe had mentioned. We also do outreach. We're in some rural areas. We go over as far, if anybody's familiar, almost to the center of the state of PA, some real rural areas. We can pay security deposits and arrearages. We work very closely with the VA in Allegheny, which is in the domiciliary, which is about 3 miles from here, with HUD-VASH. We have our folks, they send us their voucher veterans. We can pay security deposits for them. With our rental assistance in SSVF, we can pay security deposits, arrearages, moving forward, utilities, transportation assistance, daycare, temporary housing in hotel motels if our emergency shelters are full. What we do, our process is veteran will appear. They either make an appointment or do a walk-in. We do an intake. We're very fortunate that our intake specialist has about 6 years' experience as a housing case manager. He's able to do the intake assessment, determine what grant they would possibly fit under. We have a crackerjack team of employment specialists that when a veteran appears to them, what they do is come back, meet with me, meet with one of our housing case managers. We discuss it as a team. We also discuss with the veteran where he would like to live, what he thinks would be best for him or his family. At that point, we move forward. We collect all the data, all the documentation that we would need. We are very fortunate that we can provide all these housing resources. It really provides a solid foundation for their successful employment. Once we find the best fit, we go ahead, we assist them with finding a unit. We can assist with some of our private funding. We can assist with furniture, with beds, household goods and supplies that they would need, food, gift cards for food and needed supplies. What we do, we have a Veterans Leadership Program has a delivery model. It's called Operation Back Home. And our mission is basically to connect with the veteran, assist with job and employment, housing, and prevention. Within our housing programs, we also provide assessments, goal setting. Our case managers work very closely with the veteran to determine what their goals are. We have life skills training, financial literacy, like I said, the support for the transportation, which is vital. The city of Pittsburgh itself and Allegheny County have their bus system is not the best any longer. So assisting them with transportation for their employment is key. With our jobs, we also do goal setting. Our case managers, fortunately, are in the same building. We are very, very close geographically. We can work very closely with setting goals, both for housing and with employment. We have job counseling and assistance, the resume preparation. We also have, one time a week, we have a benefits officer and a CareerLink representative in our building. We also have a woman who volunteers her time and comes in and helps us do resume writing. Our private grants allow us to kind of pick up where the SSDF and the HUD money stop. If we have a veteran appear and they're really not eligible for any of other programs, that's when we can kick in with some of our private funding, hotel, motel expenses, helping them out with turning their utilities back on. Utility arrearages, we are finding, is a big impediment to moving on with housing. We are able to get some of that paid off. Daycare is also a big barrier for employment. We're fortunate that we can assist with connections to daycare. We're finding most of that with our female veterans, our single moms, getting their daycare paid for even for 2-3 weeks is key. Clothing. We have some clothing here that has been donated, but we can also provide vouchers for clothing for job interviews and startups. And that all comes from a lot of our housing grants. Basically, that's it. I mean, the details of each grant, I'm sure everybody's pretty much aware of the HUD with the transitional housing program. You can stay up to 24 months. The HUD permanent housing programs is just that. It's permanent. The case managers do work with the clients to move on. Self-sustaining is our goal for all of our folks that present here. We've also applied for and are in the process now of a new permanent housing program through the HUD supportive housing, and it'll be 16 units, and that's also family units as well. Our Penn Free program is a transitional program that's up to 24 months. Was supported with the SSVF grant. We rolled that out in October, and we're seeing quite a bit of success with that. Like I said, it's 14 counties in southwestern Pennsylvania, so we're really reaching out. That is for 5 months of assistance. We have the ESG grant, which is administered by Allegheny County Economic Development in the city of Pittsburgh. We're able to pay rent moving forward and arrearages with that as well. We're really able to connect and make sure that these folks get the needed supports that they need. The supports, I'm losing my place here. When we connect, community outreach and education, collaboration with partnerships and community organizations, government agencies. It's pretty much what Joe had said when he spoke about connecting and collaborations. Assessment and goal setting. We require our veterans to present to us once a month. We do housing visits several times a month. See what they need, connect them to supports, connect them to mainstream services, any entitlements that they're eligible for. And that's basically what we do. With that, I will close.
Thank you so much, Judy. I think that's very, very useful information, too. It definitely is very helpful to have those differing perspectives because you do manage, both of you manage so many different housing resources and understand that the importance of making sure that the program participants are connected to those. I'm going to turn it over to Andrew Geary with NCHV really briefly. He's going to just give a short summary of his slides, but as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have additional calls after the first of the year, and Andrew will go into more detail in the first one of those calls on the resources that he's put together for providers. And then we'll leave just a couple of minutes for Q&A. I know we don't have a lot of time for that, but my email address is on the very first slide of the presentation, and it's all over NCHV's website. It's just bcrone@nchv.org. If you have questions that don't get answered today, just shoot me an email, and we'll put together a Q&A fact sheet and put that up with all the resources for today's call. So with that, Andrew, do you want to go over your slides?
Sure thing. Thank you, Bailey, and thank you, Joe, Mike, and Judy, for being on the call today. This will be a pretty brief overview, but you do have the slides in front of you as well as the notes in there if you want to go into some more detail. But the Corporate Connection was created recently, and it seeks to engage the private sector in joining the campaign to end veteran homelessness. Now, some of the things that we are working on here is kind of essentially consulting services for businesses as well as nonprofits looking to work with businesses. This could be in working on designing volunteer programs. This could be working on building product philanthropy programs, essentially in-kind donations, as well as employee giving campaigns, a kind of a whole host of things, including a homeless veteran hiring initiative, which is right up the HVRP alleyway, and working with DevOps and Leavers as well as businesses looking to add homeless veterans into their employment roles. And one of the new things that we have been working on this year is the Veterans Housing Portal on slide 25, you'll see. Now, this was designed and partly inspired by the Veterans Access to Housing Summit that we recently hosted in San Antonio. There's more information at our website with presentations and slides from that summit that you can learn more about. But that's really where this template for working with foreclosed and vacant single-family housing units utilized for homeless veterans, that's really the focus of the Veterans Housing Portal that you will find on our website. So moving on, just to slide 26, just real quick, this is a map from October 2012 of the foreclosure trends. November numbers have just recently released this week and from RealtyTrack. And you're looking at about over 1.5 million homes in foreclosure across the country. The Census Bureau estimates another 10 million vacant lots in 2010 alone. So there's a huge swell of these foreclosed and vacant houses that are just not being utilized for much of anything right now. And if you look at sort of the top five states where homeless veterans exist in the latest point in time count, three of those top five you'll see are pretty bright red here. You have California, with one in every 379 housing units are in foreclosure. Florida, you have one in every 304 housing units in foreclosure. And the average, just to give you an idea, is one in every 728 housing units. So there is certainly a need to try to utilize these houses. And for homeless veterans, there's a lot of opportunities that exist right now. So just real briefly, three of the aspects of the housing portal. You will see the single housing unit template that we have. Resources and case studies, and the resources go into a little bit more of the major reports, and I'm going to touch on just a few of the resources that can be available in addition to sort of some of the federal resources we've talked about today. And then some case studies just to kind of give you some real-world examples of how this has been implemented with a private-public partnership in the past, kind of can get some ideas going of what organizations are working in this area that could also work with you. So just real quickly, here, the Housing Assistance Council has just released a new initiative on veterans specifically. They have been working with affordable housing in rural communities for many, many years, and now they are focused on veterans now and moving into a new area. They recently had a grant announcement in partnership with Home Depot Foundation for the first time that has recently passed. But I would get in touch with them if you are considered in a rural part of the country. There's some new opportunities there, and there's the definition of rural can be pretty. You know, you might be surprised what qualifies as that. So I would get in touch with them and determine if you might meet those standards. Another major source of housing resources and funding is the National Community Stabilization Trust. It's a pretty complicated entity, so I won't have too much time to go into it. It was created in response to HUD's Neighborhood Stabilization Program from a few years back, driven by stimulus funds. But some of the things that they do is really connect the nonprofit sector to the banks and the private sector working on real estate-owned houses, so these REO properties. They work on transferring these properties over. They also do provide some financing and really serve as sort of the centralized point for organizations looking to help out in the foreclosure and the neighborhood stabilization community. Now over on slide 29, just one thing that on the federal side tends to get forgotten frequently, again, if you're in the rural part of the country, and again, that definition can be very wide, is the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They actually have housing programs that are for single-family homes, but also for apartments, nursing homes. It's pretty a wide area, bright array of housing resources that you might be able to receive funding through the Department of Agriculture. And just one private organization to highlight real quick is an organization called Bridge Built. They also work with the Stabilization Trust, but they help provide acquisition, rehabilitation, financing, and leasing of distressed single-family homes. So, again, these real estate-owned homes from the bank that own them. They Bridge Built currently only operates in 10 communities, 10 states. These are, as you would expect, the 10 hardest states by the foreclosure crisis. But I've heard several testimonies of nonprofits, large and small-sized nonprofits, that have had a lot of success working with an organization like BridgeBuild and helping get that financing and get over the hurdle to provide housing. As you heard from Joe, they have 5 continuum of care grants that they work with. Judy mentioned a private grant in addition to other federal funding. A lot of these housing developments that come about are through multiple resources, and BridgeBuild Stabilization Trust are wonderful resources to sort of find those different entities that can come together and make that housing a reality. So just next steps if you want to learn a little bit more. I know this was really quick, but I definitely encourage you to visit the website at nchv.org and you click on the Corporate Connection. It'll be on the main page there. We do have that single housing unit template. Now that is just specifically right now for single housing units as well as those that are real estate-owned, bank-owned homes. But contact me if you have any questions about the housing portal or any further information on these resources that I've talked about. My email is there as well as the phone number, and I would certainly love to speak with you more about your particular situation and see what we can do. And I will pass it over to Bailey.
Thank you, Andrew. And, you know, looking at the time, we actually have a grand total of about 1 minute. So I'm just going to go ahead and say we're actually not going to do Q&A. I really like to do that. I think it's important to have for calls. So I would really encourage you, if you have any questions at all, or if you want to share information that you've used in your program, in your HVRP, or if you work with HVRPs, you know, if you have those insights that you do want to share with other participants on today's call, please send those to me or to Andrew, and we'll be sure to compile those questions and those comments and those added stories. You know, I think it's so important that we have organizations like the great ones that we had on today's call come on and share the work that they do. And I know a lot of the programs that are on the line today have some great resources that they use that they could share as well. So please share those with us, and we'll be sure to put all of that information up and send out a notice to everyone who's on today's call so everyone has access to those resources. And I also wanted to mention that I talked earlier about the call that HUD is having at 3:30 Eastern today. I thought that it was up on our website, and I'll try to get it up there, but it actually was in our e-newsletter today. So if you aren't, another good reason to sign up for the e-newsletter, but if you aren't signed up for that, let me find the exact name of the call so you can look it up. It's a HUD call. It's called Homeless Programs, Transition Policies and Changes, being held at 3:30 today. I think it would be a really useful resource for you. As Joe mentioned, being involved in the continuum of care is such an important asset to your organization. So I just want to say thank you again to Joe and to Judy and to your teams and to Andrew for sharing the information today. And to everyone on the call, thank you in advance for sharing your insights and your questions. And we're looking forward to continuing these calls on housing resources for HVRP grantees into the new year. So thank you, everyone, and have a great week.